Our Bible reading today is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. We progress on in the last week of our Lord's life on earth, and we come again to this Mount of Olives discourse, and the Lord is speaking of, in response to the question, "What shall the sign of thy coming be?" Matthew 25, we'll read together, please, verses 1 to 13. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps, their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Amen. We'll end our reading there at that verse. Trust the Lord to bless His word to each and every heart here this Sunday morning.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and today the theme of our message is Be Ready. Be Ready. Really, this is the best hope that I can give anyone in this coronavirus crisis during these days of fear and of sickness and the great likelihood of people dying of this contagious disease. We need to be ready, and while there are many preparations for people to be ready, stockpiling food, medicines, arranging work and daycare and various other things that people say they need to be ready, but on a spiritual plane, are you ready for heaven? Are you ready to meet God? And it is time to seek the Lord. And I want to conduct this program today on this theme of being ready. In this passage that we have been reading, there is the parable of the virgins who were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom, but alas, they ran out of oil, they went off to get more oil, and the bridegroom arrived while they were without oil in their lamps. And that is a warning that every one of us needs to be ready. We need Christ in our hearts. We need not just to hear the gospel, but to believe it, receive the Lord, and have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if the Lord returns and you are not ready, then you're lost. You are without mercy and without hope. This is the day of mercy now. But after Christ returns, or after death, there is no mercy. And so I trust you'll stay tuned right through our program as we let the Bible speak on this theme of Be Ready.
Thank Thee for this time of fellowship. We thank Thee for the Word of God that we may open together. And we pray that the Lord of glory will minister and give grace in the preaching of thy word and in the hearing of thy word, that there will be this mysterious rapport between the God of heaven, the preacher's heart and mind, and the soul of each hearer today. O Lord, let thy blessing be upon this ministry, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 25, today we come to this further teaching of our Lord on the Mount of Olives. These two chapters, Matthew 24, 25, really deal with the one issue, the signs of our Lord's return, and the need to be prepared. We see that the Lord puts such emphasis on this because he builds case upon case upon case. He talks about the physical realm, the rumors of wars, the pestilences, the earthquakes, and all of those things he dismisses as the specific signs of the Lord's return. So I'm not really convinced with those people that come up with statistics and say that, you know, gradually, year by year, there have been a more frequent reoccurrence of earthquakes around the world. And, you know, people come up with all kinds of bar graphs and little dots on maps to show the frequency of earthquakes and so on. Our Lord said those will not be the sign, because they would almost give it away. And the Lord said there will be no sign, no negative sign, except that, as in the days of Noah, things will continue. Normality will prevail. People will still eat. The food supply will be there. Marriage will continue. The proper government of families and nations will continue until suddenly our Lord shall appear. Now in chapter 25, we come to this very simple yet special story of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. The message is the same: be ready at all times. Now, to understand some of this parable, we need to appreciate that Jewish weddings were quite different from the customs of a Western wedding. The groom and his entourage was due to find its way to the home of the bride. The bridesmaid's task was to put up a welcoming party, a reception of the groom and his groomsmen. And during this time, the bride remains in the house. In fact, there is no mention of the bride in this story at all. And the interesting thing is that the focus is upon what we would call the bridesmaids or the virgins, those whose task it is to await at first sight of the groom and to set up this receiving party. The purpose of this, of course, is to demonstrate the individual's responsibility to be absolutely ready at the coming of the Lord. Now, on this evening, the groom was fully expected. It's not that they were taken by total surprise. The arrangements had been made that this would be the evening of the wedding celebration, and all were expecting the groom fully. The bride was in her house, the preparations were made, and these bridesmaids were on high alert, ready for the first indication that the groom and his entourage were coming. Now, it is also to be pointed out that 10 in Judaism and Jewish custom was the number of legal requirement to witness and to attend such a celebration. And so the Lord, in his parable, uses this number 10. But on this evening, while these 10 virgins were waiting, time dragged on because the groom was late. Not a good idea, and not to be recommended to any prospective grooms that might be here today. Do not be late for your wedding. My brother was late for his wedding, and he's been married for nearly 30 years, and he hasn't lived it down, and will never live it down. So it's not a good idea to be late. The evening dragged on. These 10 young girls became weary in waiting. They thought, surely if he's ever going to come, he'll have come by now. And so, becoming tired and dreary, and they took a nap. And I'm sure they said, "Now waken me up if you hear anything." And one after the other, they began to sleep. And it wasn't until nigh midnight that the cry went up, "The groom is coming. They are on their way. Get ready." And so, in a measure of panic, they began to take their lamps. And they proceeded to light their lamps to go out and meet the groom. 5 were successful in lighting their lamps. 5 were in a state of absolute frenzy and pandemonium. They had forgotten the one thing needful: oil. That was the only difference between the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. They all had lamps. They all were in a state of relative readiness. They all were expecting the groom to come. But 5, for whatever reason, had no oil in their lamps. And so, in a state of haste, they ran off to the cellars to acquire oil. And by the time they came back, the bridegroom had arrived. They had proceeded into the bride's house, and the door was shut. Now, this parable is all designed by the Lord, who dovetailed the aspects of this whole parable to teach this one lesson: that you need to be altogether ready for the Lord to come. And you say, "I know." So did each one of these 10 virgins. They all said, "I know I need to be ready. There's my lamp. And if only the fellow would come, I would be ready. But I'm getting weary of waiting." And they interpreted long delay as a no-show. But he did come. And there are those that need this very warning today. You may be asking, is it possible for me to be a religious, church-going person, to be like these foolish virgins and spend all this effort and yet not ready to be ushered into heaven and find myself locked out? Now, it was true of these virgins, and the Lord used this parable to get to the application. And the application really is that final verse that we read together, the verse 13. "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, we need to get to how could these foolish virgins make this so fundamental mistake? The thing that anybody in their right mind would have understood they needed to be in a state of readiness, they didn't have. What was in their minds? How could they have had these lamps ready with no oil? I'll try to answer that today. I think there are some things that are about this whole story that really demonstrate the answer for us. I think that these virgins were guilty of externalizing their preparations. Those who were well-versed in Jewish customs, and my main source for this is a man called Dr. Eidersheim, a converted Jew. He was born in Vienna to Jewish parents, converted to Christianity, and a man who has provided for us some tremendous insights into Jewish customs and the Bible times. These lamps were well constructed. They were boxes that were prepared ahead of time. They didn't have proper glass as we would know it. They would have had some reflective material to enhance the heat and the light. They would have been placed or attached to a pole so that when the person had one of these lamps as they were walking along, more like a pilgrim, they would have been like a mobile street lamp. And every step they took, the light was projected as they proceeded. In the well of these lamps, of course, there was a little place for oil or pitch, which may have been used to keep a fire burning, and the reflective material would project the light ahead of them. Now, all of these lamps were in good order. And I'm sure these virgins, every one of them had their own lamp. Every one of them had their own lamp. But these foolish virgins, these five, put all the emphasis on the hardware, but no emphasis on the oil that produced the light. Outwardly, they were ready. Anyone looking on, boy, they've got their lamps. But inwardly, they were not ready. Now, this is to externalize, to put up a good outward show of readiness, when in reality, there's no ability to provide light. And it is like those who externalize their religion. They have, to the eyes of fellow men, the outward demonstration of everything Christian. They have the outward ability to produce a life that agrees with what genuine Christianity is. They have many visible and even tangible aspects to their practical religion, but they forget the oil. And the oil here, I would simply interpret as the Holy Spirit. He is the oil of the Christian life. It is the regenerating, life-giving work of the Spirit of God that makes men and women Christians in heart. Not merely in dress or outward appearance or attending ceremonies or services or doing good works. It is that change of heart that the Holy Spirit works within our lives. And without that miracle of being born again, no matter what else you have, born into a religious family, whatever you have in a religious fashion, without the oil of the Holy Spirit, without the life of the Holy Spirit, you're not ready. You are acting foolishly. Now let me give you some examples of this in action. Our Lord Jesus went to Nicodemus, or Nicodemus came to him on an evening. And Nicodemus was a religious man. In John 3, we read of him coming to the Lord asking many very special questions. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, he says. And so outwardly, this man had knowledge, and he had religion, and he had many things going for him. What was the Lord's answer to Nicodemus? Ye must be born again. And he insisted, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There needs to be oil. There needs to be the inward life, the new birth experience. Without that, it's a mere externalizing of Christianity. If you go back to Matthew 15 in your Bible here, Matthew 15 and verse 8, you'll find the Lord Jesus often raised this matter. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And the externalizing of this was, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They had substituted by one means or another man-made customs and ideas of tradition for that one thing necessary, a heart that is right with God. A new heart, a born-again heart. Now, I must ask you, do you have this? Or is your Christianity just like these foolish virgins? You parade around with a little box. You parade around with the pretense that you're ready for the Lord to come. But your heart has never been changed. I think that people do this in many ways. There are people who externalize their religion by carrying around a cross. And they have the wood of the cross and the artifact of the cross. They may even have the body of the Lord on the cross, which is a no-no in Scripture. To make an image of our Lord is wrong. But many people think, but that is to make the Lord Jesus precious to me. That is my attachment to the Lord Jesus and to the cross. And if I have that cross near me and in sight, and if I'm able to see that, brings me into a special relation with the Lord. But that's only the external. It doesn't change the heart. It doesn't wash you in the blood of Jesus by simply looking to a man-made symbol of the cross of Calvary. Then there are those who consider infant baptism to be this change of heart. And there is this very foolish notion of baptismal regeneration, that when the minister or a priest puts that little drop of water on the infant's head, that automatically, and there's a theological term for this, automatically, the grace of God is infused into the child. And from that point on, that individual is in a state of grace. And that's taught in many, many, many so-called Christian circles. And of course, when parents are asked, what about your child? Is your child a Christian? Oh yes, we took him to church and he or she was baptized. Grace was infused. This is but to externalize the real need of a new heart, the oil of the Holy Spirit. Parents, we need to realize that until our children are born again and the miracle takes place, that they are not saved. You see, this is to take what our Lord Jesus preached as a supernatural religion and to bring it all down to the natural level. Something that we can do to bring man into a state of grace. That's natural religion. Supernatural religion is to throw up your hands and say, Lord, I can't do a thing except you have mercy to save me. Have you done that? Or are you trusting in the outward, external thing? There are those who have gone to evangelistic campaigns, or perhaps they've done through a church, and they have signed a card. And they look to that signing of a card as the outward evidence that they're a Christian. Maybe they keep that card. It may even be taped right into your Bible. You may keep it amongst your most precious possessions. And if anyone asks you, are you a Christian? You immediately think or you go to that card. There is the day that I signed a card of commitment to Jesus Christ. Now I say this, that at a gospel campaign where the gospel is preached and at a church where Christ is preached, you could have been saved that day you signed the card. But I've got to remind you and insist, it was not the signing of the card that saved your soul. That is just the man's confirmation that you were there and did so. What is it that is the confirmation that you are truly saved or born again? It's a new life. Light in the lamp. And if there's no light coming from your life, if you're still walking in darkness, if you're still walking on the road that is dark and you're like a blind leading the blind, how can you say that the glorious transaction has taken place and that you're really prepared for the Lord to return? Let me ask you, the question is, do you have the oil, the new life of Christ in your soul? That's what these women were missing.
Thank you for joining us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and today's theme is Be Ready. How close are you to being ready for eternity? People prepare for many things, but do you think about eternity and about your own salvation? So what do you need to do to be ready? Well, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your own Lord and Savior. So that's faith. Then you need to repent and turn from all sin. Everything that God denounces as sin, you must repent of and turn from it. So it's believe, repent. The third thing is pray and plead the gospel promises. And the Bible gives us ample promises upon which we pray and call upon the Lord to be our Savior. And I love Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's Romans 10 verse 9. You can go to the Bible, look it up, look at each word, see there the promise, thou shalt be saved. And upon the authority of the Bible, God's word, you can call on the Lord to do what he has promised in his word. You're taking the words of the Bible, praying them back to God, pleading that gospel promise. You do that and you will be ready. Now, when will you be ready? Well, it's salvation is instant. Think of the dying thief upon the cross. And he lived a criminal's life. He lived wickedly. Even until he was nailed to that cross, he was a deep-dyed sinner. But when he cried out unto the Lord, "Remember me," Jesus said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." And so instantly he was totally forgiven and given the promise of heaven with Christ. And that's the goal, to be with Christ, to be saved and to be sure of eternal life with the Lord, with the Savior. Now, can the Lord save anyone? And the answer is all who come. All who come are received. Think of the prodigal son who had blown everything, disgraced his family, gone into the far country, blew the inheritance that he had received, was reduced to poverty, a worker on a farm feeding pigs. He was so hungry he even considered eating the pig slop. And yet, when he came to himself and decided to return home, what a welcome he received. And that's a great story, to know the grace that is in the heart of our Heavenly Father. God, while he is the judge of all the earth and he hates sin, yet when we turn to him, when we repent and come to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, what a reception. And just as the Father who saw him coming toward the home, he ran toward his son, threw his arms around him, kissed him, reinstated him in the home with a full and warm welcome. And so to you today, there is a welcome. Come, receive the grace that is in the heart of God and all the blessings which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus through the preaching of the gospel. Oh, that today that you would be saved. If I can be of personal help, be sure to call. I look forward to hearing from you. Stay tuned now for these announcements.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.